Of course he's right. Just ask him. He'll tell you. Here's Steve.
Welcome back to it on a free-for-all Friday. It's the Steve Rivers Show. Glad to have you here for the conversation. A lot of back and forth over the last couple of years about Michigan no-fault insurance. What should be done with it? Should it be changed? Should it be adjusted? And some folks now say, you know what, let's just scrap it all together. It's too much. We've fought too hard. We've gone too far. And it's just time to pull the plug on it. Wendy Block joining me, Senior Director of Health Policy, Human Resources, and Business at the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Wendy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So, all right, so the argument, people just, I guess maybe they're exhausted with the conversation. Is that it? They're just tired of us? You know, enough, let's just be done.
Yeah, I think people are looking at the cost of auto insurance in Michigan, and they're realizing, and they've been realizing for a while now, that the costs are on this upward trend, and it's simply not sustainable. Today, auto insurance premiums are 82% above the national average, 82%. And so, you know, legislators frustrated with the bipartisan package of bills pushed by the Speaker as well as Detroit Mayor Duggan, those bills failing late last year, are taking matters into their own hands. And they have now introduced legislation to repeal Michigan's no-fault law and return us to a tort system like 38 other states operate under today.
And so when you say a tort system, for the listeners, for the benefit of all listening, what does that mean?
Sure. So unlike under a no-fault system where your auto insurance basically pays your bills for your vehicle as well as your medical bills, regardless of who's at fault, under a tort system, the insurance company is only responsible for damages when your vehicle and your medical bills are when you're at fault in an accident. So the other person's vehicle covers those bills for you. It may require some litigation. It may be settled outside of court, but basically you only pay when you're at fault.
Which a lot of people say makes perfect sense. Now, there's a lot of money out there, $20 billion, I believe, in a catastrophic fund that's been built up since 1976 when this plan was put into place. About 13,000 people that have had catastrophic injuries that are beneficiaries of that fund. What happens to that money, to that fund, if the plug gets pulled and the whole deal?
So that money's been set aside for people who are already catastrophically injured today. And my understanding of this package is that they hope to continue to cover those people with the funding that is currently available. So the idea that any of these people wouldn't receive the benefits that are owed to them today or we've promised them for today, that money would still be there for tomorrow and into the future for those people.
So what is the position then of the Michigan Chamber? What is the next best step for us to take as far as you're concerned when it comes to auto insurance and how we handle it going forward?
Well, we definitely think something needs to give. This is affecting talent because people may be able to afford a car to get to work, but they may not be able to afford the auto insurance that goes with it. And we know transportation is a significant barrier to the workforce talent and talent issues. We know that this is on an unsustainable track. We can't stay 82% above the national average and think that this isn't somehow going to affect our state's overall competitiveness. And, you know, certainly it's impacting every resident's pocketbooks. We have not taken a formal position on this kind of move from no fault to tort. And we're unsure whether this, in fact, would break the logjam in the legislature. But we do think it's a worthy discussion. Like I said, 38 other states operate under this system today, and all of those states, all of them, have lower auto insurance costs than Michigan, including Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin. And so
you talk about, I want to jump in there because you talk about economic impact on the individual, but what about corporations? Is the auto no-fault plan, if somebody wants to come here and they have a fleet of vehicles or a group of individuals, is that a prohibitive cost, depending if it's a larger company that might have a fleet of vehicles on the road and their cost is significantly higher than, saying, being in Indiana or Ohio or one of our neighboring states? Do you think that's one of the barriers to entry for businesses considering Michigan?
It certainly is a consideration. So, you know, it's going to depend on the employer and how they're insuring that fleet of vehicles. They may be self-insuring. You know, only a handful of companies do that today. But many are looking at that as a worthy consideration moving forward. You know, this is impacting employers not only because they have fleets of vehicles, but it's impacting employers because they're seeing their employees' paychecks having to be spread thin because they're having to buy Michigan's cost-prohibitive auto insurance. And they recognize that there are many components of our auto insurance today that can be reformed, that we can attack the primary cost drivers and to lower those costs. So, you know, I think our members are looking at this not only in the lens of their individual company and their bottom line, but also, you know, the impact on their employees. And,
sure.
You know, how where their paychecks are being put.
What kind of savings do you think there could be? Because, you know, you talk about a family, and if a family saves $500 or $1,000, or if they got, you know, two or three or four cars because they have kids in high school or just starting off to college, you know, that, you know, starts to rack up when you've got several vehicles in the driveway.
Exactly.
Seems to me you could have some significant savings.
We talk a lot about tax reform and, you know, putting money back in people's pockets. And I think that's an important discussion. Don't get me wrong. But if you think about prices this way with auto insurance, so a 40-year-old male driver in Ohio would pay on average about $919 a year for his auto insurance. In Michigan, that same driver would pay $2,394. So we're talking about $1,475 difference. So you're talking over $100 a month that that individual could save. Now, if there's multiple drivers in the household, you're maybe talking about, you know, $200 or $300 if there's a teenage driver. I mean, this is real money that we're talking about. The reforms that the legislature rejected in late 2017 would have saved drivers $1 billion. I mean, we're talking about a 40% savings on PIP, which is the personal injury protection, or over 20% of savings on premiums. And the legislature said, we've gotten a lot of pressure from trial lawyers and hospital CEOs, and sorry, you know, politically undoable for us. We'll get what, guess what? What about those drivers in the district that really need these savings?
Well, you know, $120 a month, you know, that's real money for most people. $300 a month certainly is for most people. I mean, that's a difference in your, you know, and a lot of that money, you said $1 billion across the state annually, a lot of that money would end up back in the economy in other places. Maybe it's a night out, maybe it's the movies, maybe it's paying off some bills, whatever it could be. You know, $300 a month might be another car payment, you know, for somebody to go to college or something. You know, there's all of these different things that can happen with those resources if those resources are freed and allowed to go back into the economy. So I'll give you the last word, Wendy.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's lots of discussions to be had on this, you know, whether it's tort, whether it's other reforms to the system. But at the end of the day, I think the legislature really needs to look at the primary cost drivers of the system. Today, auto insurers are paying 2, 3, 4, 8 times the same amount, the amount for medical procedures as other health insurers are paying. That's just waste. That's just simple overcharging and greediness. And so, you know, there's a lot the legislature can do, whether it's tort or reforming the current system, but we really do feel like something needs to change, that not only businesses but individuals in this state need real relief, because an 82% above the national average is just simply unacceptable.
Yeah, and stay tuned, because it seems like this conversation seems to ratchet up and then fade back and ratchet up, but this time it seems like there may be more happening, and I'll keep an eye on that. And Wendy, of course, we'll have you back if something changes. Greatly appreciated, as always.
Thank you for having me.
Wendy Block, Senior Director of Health Policy, Human Resources, and Business Advocacy at the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Always very informational, and she is just terrific. Quick break. We'll be right back here on the Steve Gerber Show.